Here in Psalm 69, there's some double meaning coming out of these verses. It's some things that David was going through, but it also proved that the Lord Jesus Christ quoted these same scriptures and for his own life. So I want you to look at this. Verse number 7. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame hath covered my face. Think of the Lord Jesus now. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. That's a prophecy of the Lord. And the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. Isn't that something? That's a prophecy of the life of the Lord Jesus. Now the verse I want to use this morning, verse 8, where he said, I am become a stranger unto my brethren. Isn't that an odd word to use for the Son of God, a stranger? I'm going to preach to you this morning, maybe on an unusual title and subject, but I believe if you'll listen, you'll get what I'm trying to say. The stranger among us. More than 1900 years ago, there was a man born contrary to the laws of life. This man lived in poverty and was reared in obscurity. He did not travel extensively. Only once did he cross the boundary of the country in which he lived, and that was during his childhood. He possessed neither name, wealth, or influence. His relatives were inconspicuous and uninfluential and had neither training nor education. But in his infancy, he startled a king. In his childhood, he puzzled the doctors. In his manhood, he ruled the course of nature, walked upon the billows as if paved parking lots, and hushed the sea to sleep. He healed the multitudes without medicine and made no charges for his services. He never wrote a book, yet all the libraries of the world couldn't hold the books that have been written about him. He never wrote a song, and yet he has been the theme of more songs than all the other songs combined. He never founded a college, but all the schools put together could not boast as many students as he has. He never practiced medicine, and yet he's healed more broken hearts and broken bodies and diseases than all the doctors put together. He never marshaled an army, nor drafted a soldier, nor fired a gun. And yet no leader ever had more volunteers who, under his orders, made rebels stack arms and surrender without a shot being fired. He's the star of astronomy. He's the rock of geology. He's the lion and the lamb of the zoological kingdom. He's the revealer of the snares that lurk in the darkness. He's the rebuker of every evil thing that prowls at night. He's the quickener of all. I'm about to shout right here. Glory to God, brother. That's my boss man we're talking about. I don't work for some little rinky dink like I do up there. The White House keeps popping in my mind while I'm reading this. I went over Washington, D.C. this morning. I could see the Capitol building sticking up there. You know that pretty dome? Way across the yard here is the Washington Monument. And I got to thinking, you know, all them roads in Washington, D.C. lead toward the Capitol. They're zigzagged. They've had to block off Pennsylvania Avenue because the plane's crashing into the president's house and stuff like that. They're afraid somebody's going to get him. Not to close them roads off like that. I tell you, I thought about all them roads leading toward the White House and toward the center of town. That's the way everything points to Jesus Christ. The stars do. The planet does. History does. Future does. Yet he was a stranger. He's still a stranger in the world. He's still a stranger. You know what I heard? I knew I'd mess this up and not finish my reading. But you know what I heard on the news? I heard that when the Pope came to New York yesterday, they got on there and they said, "Welcome, Holy Father." I about laughed my head off. Holy Father? Who are you kidding, man? The Holy Father is in heaven ruling on the throne. The Pope's not the Holy Father. He's too poop to poke. He's just a sinner just like anybody else. Amen. I'm not being disrespectful. I mean, he's a sinner that needs to be saved by grace just like any other sinner. Brother, I'm talking about the man here. This is the man. He's the one. Every seventh day, the wheels of commerce cease their turning, and multitudes make their way to worship assemblies to pay homage and respect to Him. He fills the pages of theology and humanology. Every prayer that ever gets to God is made through His name and for His sake. The names of past proud statesmen of Greece and Rome have come and gone. You know, like the old country preacher said, old Plato, Aristotle, and Socrates, all them old famous people like that. But the years of this man shall abound more and more. Though time has spread 1900 centuries between the people of this generation and his crucifixion, yet he still lives. Herod could not kill him. Satan could not deceive him. Death could not hold him. He stands forth upon the highest pinnacle of heavenly glory, proclaimed of God, acknowledged by angels, adored by saints, feared by devils, as the living personal Christ. Yet the Bible said when he came to his own, and his own received him not. The devil and the world and sin will put up a little curtain between you and the Lord, that he'll be a stranger to you. I tell you, the Bible tells us, he said, I'm become a stranger to my brethren. I want to say, first of all, this morning, his desire was strange. He had a strange desire, like nobody had ever walked on this world. He had a love for sinners. Bible said there in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, he said, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. You know, when you really start thinking about it, there's very few people in this world that love sinners. I mean, you know, we love them that love us. We like people that's nice to us. That's just the way we are. Here's a man who loved sinners. The vilest, most wicked sinner you could ever imagine. He loved him. His desire was strange. His desire was strange in that he come to lift their sentence. You see, they brought a woman to him one time. And this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. And this stranger looked down at that woman and he wrote something on the ground, you know, and he told her she was forgiven. And he said, go and sin no more. Neither do I condemn thee. That's strange. Had never met a man like that. The Pharisees were ready to kill her. The scribes and the judicial system of that day was willing to put that woman to death. They said she deserves to die. She done wrong. She needs to pay for what she's done. But yet this man was strange in his desire. He said, I'm going to let her go. He said, I'm going to set her free. You know, this week, I had a real privilege this week. I'll get to tell you about. I got to lead a man to the Lord in prison in Maryland Thursday morning, who was in prison for murder. And these boys, there was four boys. It was a drug deal. And some of them beat this guy up and he died. And they arrested these four of them. And now he's in prison right now. He's only been there a few weeks. And a little girl in the church kept asking, said, will you go visit him? She wrote me a letter. Said, please go talk to him. So the pastor took me to the jail Thursday morning. We asked to see him. They brought him out. They put you in a little room about big as that baptistry right there, a little bit bigger. And you have a little desk and a table. He sits down. I'd never met him before, ever. And I began to talk to him. He looks rough. Had tattoos all over his arm. Big old boy. And it looked kind of right. And boy, we sat down there and the pastor started talking. Tears started coming down his face. Pastor got through and he said, okay, you go ahead, Brother Danny. And I began to witness to him. And I opened the Bible and showed him how to be saved. And I told him, I said, Eddie, I said, there's one thing about it. You may be stuck here in jail. You may be sitting here. You're not a free man. Get out and do whatever you want to. But there's one thing about it. Jesus Christ can lift your sentence this morning. He can wipe your slate clean. I said, no matter what happens down here, all this stuff's going to be gone one day anyway. What really matters is, are you guilt-free standing before the judge of the universe one of these days? Amen? He come to liberate from sin. He told that woman, go and sin no more. His desire was strange. I don't know that there'd ever been another man on this earth that said, the only reason I'm here is to hunt out lost souls and seek them out. By the way, that's a good example for me and you. You want to live like Jesus? Go hunt somebody that's lost. Find the sinner. Tell them about the saving grace of God. His desire was strange. But I'll say secondly this morning, his doctrine was strange. Nobody ever had a doctrine like he did. I mean, they've never heard such in all of their life. Listen what he said about his personage in John chapter 10 and verse number 30. He's talking to a bunch of people one time. Now listen to this. Now suppose you lived in that day. You had never heard these words I'm getting ready to tell you. Listen how strange this is. They'd had prophets. They'd had priests. They'd had individuals come along who was religious. But here's a guy comes along and he starts telling them things. And he starts saying things they've never heard before. And they look at him and they said, how do you know? He starts talking about Abraham. They said, you don't know Abraham. And he said, I want to tell you something. He said, before Abraham was, I am. They said, huh? That's strange, isn't it? That's strange. You know what? That was so strange to them. They said, man, you are not yet 50 years old. You couldn't be 50 years old. And how do you know Abraham? He said, I'm telling you, before Abraham was born, I am. And they said, you mean you was? He said, no, I am. And buddy there, don't you think them Pharisees' mind didn't go right back under that scripture where God spoke to Moses and said, I am that I am. They knew the claim that this man was making. Buddha never said nothing like that, buddy. He could sit up all night and couldn't think up one that good. Muhammad never said, before your grandma was born, I am. Nobody ever said that before. Nobody ever said that. I'm telling you, his doctrine was strange. They had never heard of a man like that. He said, before Abraham was, I am. My soul, man. What a strange thing to say. Concerning his humanity, he was born of a woman. Yet as a little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, grew up and developed as a child in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and men. He worked with his hands. He grew weary. He hungered. He thirsted. He slept. He felt the surge of anger. He knew what it was to be sad. He knew what it was to shed tears, to be scourged, to sweat, to be betrayed, to be mocked, hands and feet pierced, crown of thorns. He knew all of that. Brother, his doctrine was strange. Not only that, his power was strange. In Matthew 28 and verse 18, he made a statement nobody had ever made. He said something nobody ever dared to say. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. As far as I know, everybody that had ever been here before or since claimed limited power. There might be a lot of people say, I'm this, I'm that, but they know they can only do so much. He said, I can do anything. All power! And I want to tell you something this morning. While I'm preaching, you've got to decide. Jesus Christ was either a lunatic, liar, or Lord. You got to decide. He's the craziest man that's ever been on this planet. Or he's the biggest liar that's ever lived. Or he's Lord God Almighty from heaven. Who are you voting for? Liar, lunatic, or Lord? Hey, man. Okay. You don't have to. Listen, man. Listen to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This morning, he wasn't a liar because everything he said happened. He wasn't a lunatic. Make difference between him and a lunatic. I mean, he's the wisest man that ever lived. That's what some of these guys in here are. I mean, like one of those guys said the other day, his favorite verse was that verse over there in Matthew. He's talking about he had a teenage boy or something. And he said, my verse is, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's lunatic. That might be what some of y'all's school kids have to claim for them. But I'll tell you what, Jesus was Lord. He had all power. Nobody else could do what he did. I'd say his doctrine was strange because of his plan. Have you ever heard anybody of the plan like he had? He said this. You know, everybody else has ever been here. Said, we got to work, we're going to build. Build a kingdom. Oh, Hitler tried to do it. Mussolini tried to do it. All them great leaders tried to do it. Everybody tried to build a great kingdom. Everybody tried to build something that was tremendous and nobody had ever seen before. You know what he done? He didn't even have a place to lay his head. He built no kingdom on this earth. And he said, I'm going to be killed and the third day rise again. And I'm going somewhere to prepare a place for you. That's strange doctrine. You see, everybody else, the Romans, even the Jews, thought, well, we'll just build our kingdom here and we'll have all we can get here. Here's a man pops up and said, I'm going to die and then I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And I'm going to fix up a big place for you with mansions after I'm dead. That's strange. That's some strange doctrine. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again. That's some strange doctrine. Nobody ever claimed that before. But let me say, thirdly this morning, his demand was strange. Nobody had ever made a demand like he did. It determines your salvation. It demands your service. It defines your situation and tells you how to be saved. His demand was strange. Amen? It determines your situation. You know what the Lord did? He put you in a predicament. You know that? He put you in a predicament where people say, well, nobody's perfect, nobody's perfect, nobody's perfect. That's true. He come along and was perfect. He put you in that situation. He put you in a situation where you got to realize that nobody's perfect, but we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. He's the only one that ever was. He not only that, he defines salvation. He told them what salvation was. He said, there's a lot of you people think probably because you live good or you keep the Ten Commandments or you go to the temple on the Sabbath and you do this and you do that and you do this and you do that, that you're going to heaven. He said, I want to tell you something. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me. What do you think Nicodemus thought that night? He told him he must be born again. Here's the most religious man in town. It'd be like Jesus talking to the Pope now or something like that. And here Nicodemus comes in. He's got things around his neck. They wore Ten Commandments around their neck. They wore them bell bottoms, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And they wore their priestly robe. They'd stand out on the street corner and pray so people could see them. I mean, you talk about religious. They wouldn't dare touch something dirty, you know. They washed their hands before they eat. They wouldn't come near to a dead body. They wouldn't even speak to somebody that wasn't a pure Jew. I mean, these people were religious. He sat down and talked to him one night. And he said, we know that you're a teacher come from God. I don't know what he meant by that. Trying to flatter him, stating the fact. And the Lord looked back at him and he said, you've got to be born again. And Nicodemus said, I've never heard nobody say that before. What do you mean? You mean it's all right if I do and all right? No. And the Lord said, no, you have to. You cannot go to heaven unless you're born again. Buddy, that's a demand. That's a demand. No two ways about it. No. And by the way, I still got the same message you people here in 1995. I don't care if you belong to every church in McDowell County. You've got to be born again. You've been saved? You can be baptized so many times the tadpoles know your social security number. I don't care. You ain't gonna cut you no slack with God, son. I mean, the Lord's not interested. He told Nicodemus, he said, you've got to be born again. Nicodemus couldn't understand it. One of the most religious guys in the whole town couldn't even understand being born again. That ought to tell you something. We still got religious people in the world today who don't know what it means to be born again. Buddy, I thank God I do. Hey, don't feel sorry for me this morning. Man, I mean, I feel like something just hit me in the head. I tell you what, I'm happy as any fool out there don't know what he's doing. Really? I'm telling you, man, I've been born again. I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, but that night as a teenage boy at Nebo Baptist Church, I cashed in, brother. I found out what it means to be born again. Nicodemus couldn't even figure it out. He said, can a man enter into his mother's womb and be born the second time? And the Lord said, man, you're so far off base. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. He said, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. He was blowing his mind, brother. His demand was strange. He said, you've got to believe on me. He said, I knew it was going too good. Sound like one of them people's got one of them things in their throat. Test him. 1, 2, 3. Just turn it way down and see if that does it. You know something happened to me this week? I got up there the first night. Don't y'all laugh at me now. This is scary. What I'm getting ready to tell you is scary. I got up there in that church the first night. The first night. first night this week, the PA system flipped out. The singers couldn't sing. The tape wouldn't work. Every time I turned the microphone, it'd just go crazy. And you know what they told me after service? Just what I didn't want to hear. They said, that never happens till you come. Honest. Every church I go to, it does the same thing. I don't know what to do. I don't know. I believe I do know. I believe it's demons. They're following me around. I feel like something's buzzing around me all the time. I just can't get away from me like that, you know. But they get in this electrical stuff. They do. His demand was strange. What am I on, this one here now? Okay, I'll try my best to stay here where I can get on this one. His demand was strange. He said, believe on me. You got to believe on me. You ain't got no choice. He said, I am what? The way. I am not a way. I am not one of many. Take me if you choose, but others are all right. That's what other religions believe. He said, this is the way it is. Like it, lump it, get mad. I mean, commit suicide, whatever you want to do. But I am the way. You're not going to heaven without me. He said, I'm the door. Can you imagine a man with the audacity to claim that he is the door to heaven? Well, brother, he's a stranger, brother. That was a strange demand. I'll tell you something stranger than that. What really blew their mind is when he started talking about eating him. Now that blew their mind. He said, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. They went, okay, enough is enough. Now, and of course, they couldn't understand it. Just like Nicodemus didn't understand being born again, those people couldn't understand. He wasn't talking about, you know, being a cannibal. That's why all these rock singers want to drink blood and taste flesh and cannibal. That's why Axel says he wants to watch you bleed. That's why, because the devil has twisted that and perverted that and literal blood and literal blood. He's talking about his body being broken on the cross. And when you believe on him, you're partaking of that broken body. He's talking about that blood being shed. When you believe, you're drinking that blood by faith, and it's forgiving you and washing your sins away. Amen? That's a strange demand. Nobody had ever made a demand like that. There's no other name under heaven, according to the book of Acts. Number four, his death was strange. But notice the words that were spoken. Notice the wonders that were seen. Notice the work that was sealed. Hallelujah. Amen. The words that were spoken. Have you ever heard anybody dying and had words spoke around them like he did? Have you ever seen a man die a death, a cruel death of murder with blood coming out of him? And the last thing he said, you know, most people said, I'll hate you, I'll hate you. Oh God, please help me. Just as calm as he could be, he looked up and said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. I bet you there's some of them people got shook up when he did that. I said, whew. Never a man spake like this man. His death was strange. It was strange. The words that were spoken. Anybody ever hear anybody say that? It's like this. It'd be like this. It'd be like this. You. Let's say this. Let's just imagine this for a minute. Let's imagine that the O.J. trial would have went the other way this week, right? Let's just imagine that we would be in a sane country again. And I know, I can tell who thinks what by how much TV you watch. I ain't going to get off on that. I ain't going to ruin this with that mess. But listen, let's just suppose that O.J. Simpson had been found guilty. Let's just suppose the whole nation watching, ever millions of people watching, guilty, you're going, and they maybe give him the death penalty or something like that. Let's imagine that. And his family be weeping and crying, his mom and sisters and friends, and Johnny, because he ain't going to get as much money. And all of them people would have been all upset. And all of a sudden, in the background, Ronald Goldman's daddy jumps up. And he comes running down there and said, I've got love in my heart. Punish me and let him go. Can you imagine that happening? Uh-uh. Don't hold your breath, son. The opposite is going to happen probably if he can get away with it. But imagine Ron Goldman's daddy coming down and saying, I love him. I don't want to see him go to the electric chair. Take me instead. You say, never happened, never happened. That's kind of the way this death here was. He didn't deserve it. He was the innocent dying for the guilty.
It was me that should have been on that cross. It was me that should have bled and died. It was me for all my sins, brother, that should have died on Calvary. And Jesus said, take me and let Danny go free. Take me and let Dale go free. Take me and let Ken go free. Take me. You say, well, that couldn't happen. His death was strange. Notice the wonders that were seen at his death. You ever seen anybody die in the middle of the afternoon and it get pitch dark when they die? Strange, isn't it? Strange. There was darkness on the earth. About the time he died, it got pitch black dark as God turned his back on his son for the first time in all eternity. His death was strange. Tell you something else happened when he died. There was an earthquake. Everything started shaking. Buddy, I bet you them people, when they heard him say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, when they seen that earthquake or felt it, and they seen everything get pitch black, I bet you some of them said, we've messed up, people. Something, hey, strange. There's something strange about that guy. He said, I'm become a stranger unto my brethren. Buddy, I'll tell you one thing. They said one time a governor, somebody went to Israel, and they went to the Holy Land, and they came back, and they brought him a little, what do you call them, a little thing, like a little souvenir or something from the Holy Land, and brought it to him, and they said, you know, we was over there around Calvary and around all that stuff, those little shops, they said, we just thought of you, and we bought you this, and we brought it back to you. And he said, boy, you know, I really appreciate that. And then he said, but you know something, I'm glad there was another man one day at Calvary that thought of me. I'm glad when he was there hanging on the cross, he thought of me. Amen. Amen. He didn't die for himself. Hallelujah. Listen, don't ever let that get old to you. Shout about that every day of your life. Listen, he thought of me, brother. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Thank God his death was strange. And then I'll tell you something else. Have you ever seen anybody die and it come an earthquake and it got pitch black dark and then graves started popping open and people jumped up out of them and went running all over town? That's strange. I'll bet you it was an exciting 3 days and three nights. Mama, there's some weird things going on around here. It got dark in the middle of the day. You know, when they killed that man that they said was the Son of God. Oh, son, get that out of here. Mama, there comes Moses down the street. The Bible said the graves opened, and many of them, they came out of Abraham's bosom and went into the holy city and appeared to many. What did they look like, reckon? Lord, hell, man. I bet you they floated about this high off the ground. Just, ooh. Wouldn't that be wild? There's Abraham. That's got to be Isaac. I know that's bound to be the way he looks. Woo! Who in the world's all them people? Man, they've been invaded by super humanoids from outer space. They didn't know what it was. They didn't know who it was. Buddy, that would have been a trip, you know it? That's going to happen. That's going to happen again during the tribulation. Except this time they're coming from hell. His death was strange. You ever heard of anybody else? When he died and said, it is finished. Buddha never said that. It is finished. He said, follow the light. Work the best you can. You know, a bunch of stuff like that. The work that was sealed. He said, it's finished. Ain't nothing else you can do. I've done it. It's over. Fifthly, his disappearance was strange. Here he comes back from the dead the third day. Stays here 40 days. Walks around, appears to people. And then one day he's standing around. He said, well, fellas, I'm going back to the Father. They said, no, stay with us. He said, you don't understand. There's going to be a whole bunch more Christians here in a few days. And I can't meet with all of them unless I do it the way I'm getting ready to do it. See, if the Lord just stayed here and walked around in person, he could only be at one place at a time. But he said, I'm going back to the Father. He said, but I'm going to come back to you now. You go up there and pray to Jerusalem until I'll come to you in the form of the Holy Spirit. And they said, what? He said, I'm getting ready to disappear and this is going to be strange. And they said, but Lord, what are you doing? And about that time, buddy, he just went up in a cloud out of their sight. That's strange. I'm telling you. And he said, if I go, I'll come back.
And oh, by the way, we know that he got home all right to the Father because the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost. Notice the sight of the saints. They saw him go up. They saw him. Eyewitnesses. I'd like seeing that. Wouldn't that have been neat? I wonder which way he went. I reckon he went north. See, like from here, there's east, there's west, there's north. I guess he went up in a cloud and curved that way toward the third heaven. I don't know. He went that way eventually. That's where God lives. The promise of the Savior, the sight of the saints, and the sound of the angels. As these angels popped out and they said, "Guys, what you staring up in the sky for?" And they said, the Lord is here. That's strange, man. I've never seen nobody do that. Just like he defied gravity. He's gone. Where is he?" And the angel said, "This same Jesus, the same shall so come in like manner." As you see him go. You know what that means, folks? He's come in the world over what I'm telling you this morning. His disappearance was strange. Lastly, this morning, his descent will be strange. His promise, "I'll come again." Nobody ever said that again. Do you think Buddha, before he died, said, "All right, now I'm going to prepare a place for you and I'm coming back"? Buddha never said no such. He didn't make a claim like that. His life was over and that's it. Old Mahatma Gandhi Guru Maharaji, all them people like that, they're crazy. They ain't coming back. They're dead and that's it, man. They're gone. It's over. Forgotten in hell forever. His descent was, or will be, "I will come again." His plan, "I'm going to call you out and take you home and give you a perfect body and make you like him." Yeah. His peace, he's going to rule this thing for 1,000 years with his saints. And then the holy city's coming down out of heaven from God, and we'll go live with him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. That's strange. He's a stranger among us. The good news this morning is he don't have to be a stranger to you. If you come today, would you be ready? If you come today, if the Lord come this morning, kids, teenagers, boys, girls, if the Lord come this morning, are you living for him? Are you right with him? Are you living for God? Teenagers, don't let this world tell you that junk and get you backslid. Live for the Lord. Live for the Lord. It's more exciting. You know, the happiest I ever seen our young people in their lives was when they're right with the Lord and on fire for Jesus. The happiest I've ever seen mamas and dads. It's not like a car or a new house or something like that. That stuff don't make you happy. It's knowing that he's not a stranger anymore. There's a stranger among us this morning. He can be your best friend. The world don't know him. But you can know him this morning. Let's stand, bow our heads for prayer. Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. They're getting us a song ready. Two questions I want to ask you before anybody moves. No one talking, no one moving. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Two questions. Number one, are you sure that you're saved? If you're here this morning and you're not saved, why don't you come? The stranger is here and he loves you. You can't see him, but he can see you. And he wants to help you this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Christians praying. Now the Lord wants to help you this morning, church member, Christian. You say, "Well, Brother Danny, I don't want to be a stranger to the Lord. And I don't want him to be a stranger to me. I want to live for him, be close to him." We're going to pray, we're going to sing, give an invitation. God's speaking to your heart this morning. Just feel and crowd around these altars. Maybe you felt like you need to come a while ago when these were coming and praying. Now's your chance. Will you do it, Father in heaven? We realize, Lord, that nobody ever spoke like you spoke. Nobody's ever come across this planet that even began to compare with you. Lord, help us to fall in love with you all over again this morning. Bless now in this invitation. Do what ought to be done in every heart and life. We love you.